But I believe today that the Lord will be saying to us is a landmark type of a message. I never preach just to preach anymore. I never preach just to, because that's my job. I seek the Lord diligently for words of life to say to you. Something that I believe will change us, cause us to conform to the image of Christ. And I really want to minister today from a thing that I feel like the Lord is ministering to me. We're still talking about how to be renewed in your mind, and that's what we're talking about, and that's what we're going to be preaching about. How many of you believe prayers are answered? We'll get this guy straightened out in a minute. Do you believe God answers prayers? Do you believe He answers your prayers? I want you to stand and pray for me. I'll be sitting down for about 45 minutes once I start. So I want you to pray for me because I believe God answers your prayers too. I want you to stretch your hand out. I want you to ask the Lord to anoint me, to bring forth wisdom from me, bring forth the word of the Lord. Not man's word, but the word of the Lord. Would you pray for me right now? Father, I receive the prayers of the saints. Father, I receive from this the body that you've let me come and serve and be a minister to. And Father, I come not, Lord God, to sit above, but Lord God, only to minister to them. I put myself, Lord God, in a place to be ministering to them. I just receive their prayers now. Receive the anointing, O God. Receive an anointing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now I want you to touch your heart that the Lord will give to you, find seed and put into your life. Father, right now I pray for these. Father God, I just, as the sower goes forth to sow the seed, Father, I pray that the seed of God is sown and goes into the hearts of your people. And Lord God, it is received in the name of Jesus. I see some of you don't have your hands on your heart. What's the matter? Let's put our hands on our hearts and receive from the Lord. Not receiving from man, you're receiving from the Lord. Father, right now we just receive the word of the Lord into our lives. Not man's word, but the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Nothing else, nothing more. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 One more thing, touch your ears. Say, Lord, anoint my ears. Anoint my ears. All right. Okay. First message that we brought in this, how to have our minds renewed. The first message was to understand what has happened to you and what must happen. That was the title of it. We learned in that message what God has done for us is that He's given us a new heart, or a heart that He can work with, a heart that He can circumcise. A heart that will cause us to change and be conformed more to His image. A heart that now receives His Spirit, His life into us, and that from that heart and that Spirit that the Lord gives to us, it works out several things into our life, but the primary thing that we saw that it works out into our life is it causes us to hate sin. It causes us to hate sin. And First John, the book of First John, tells us that this is how you know that if you're born again, because you hate sin. If you don't hate sin and you're waiting for your next opportunity to sin, then you probably aren't born again. And I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm saying that so that you can make that correction and be born again and come into the kingdom of God so that you can understand the things of God. Until you're born again, you'll never have your mind renewed. You'll only be thinking as the world thinks. The second message that we talked about was to seek God's wisdom. This was last Sunday morning. I gave you a formula that was pretty much taken from the book of James chapter 1. It shows us several things that we go through. And he says there in James chapter 1, consider it what when we enter into all joy. We consider it all joy as we come into different trials and different testings. And he says this, you got to know something. You got to know that it's working something in you. And then he says, but if you don't understand what you're going through, do what? Ask for wisdom. And he says, if you ask for wisdom, will God give it to you? Sure He will. So we ask for wisdom, and God gives us wisdom. So we talked about to have our mind renewed, we must receive the wisdom from God. And James says that's a crown of life. James says that it's a crown of life, and I brought out to your attention that it's not a crown of death. It's not a crown that we will receive once we die. It's a crown of life. It's a crown that we can wear right now in our lives, right now in our circumstances, right now in whatever that you're going through. If you will put this crown on, you will reign and rule over life, and life will not reign and rule over you. Jesus said, I come to give them life, and that abundantly. So that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about an abundant life. When we apply the wisdom of God in our life, we begin to rule circumstances. Circumstances don't rule us. We begin to rule sickness. Sickness does not rule us. We begin to rule our finances. Our finances do not rule us. And that's what we're talking about, a crown of life. And that was last time. Today, we want to talk about today, the old and the new. This is the title, Must Understand the Treasures of Things New and Old. Must understand the treasures of things new and old. You're in your scriptures to Matthew chapter 13. Let's read verse 52. And he, this is the Lord Jesus, said to them, Therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of a household who brings forth out of his treasure things new and old. I want you to say back to me, new and old. You got to understand, it's new and old. Thus the title of the message, new and old. Are you looking at me? New and old. A disciple that is truly a disciple, a scribe of Christ, is going to understand, have knowledge of the new and the old. Now, in our fellowship, in this church that God has placed you in, which one of these two would you say that this particular church and fellowship functions the most in? The new. Very seldom do we go back to some old things. But if we're a wise disciple, if we're a wise scribe, if we're a wise church, what will we do? New and the old. We'll have both. So I'm easing into this as I prayed and meditated about this week, and it's been an all-week thing. Just staying before the Lord, listening to the Lord, riding back and forth to Chattanooga, writing notes down. The Lord told me to enter into this teaching very cautiously. Some of you are immediately going to hear me say, and I'm not saying this at all, but this is what you're going to hear me say, is that I'm going back to the old. No, I'm not. I fought too much. I've died too much. You've been hurt too much. I've been hurt too much to go backwards now. But neither do I want you to hear that we're not going to go back sometimes and understand the old. We're not going to forsake it and throw it away. I want you to understand and hear me what I'm saying. I told you the first time that we ministered this, that there were three things that I believe that you had to do to have your mind renewed. The first thing is you had to study out the way of God. You've got to find God's way in any circumstance that you enter in. That's the first thing you'll always have to do, is find God's way. Second thing you have to do is compare it with your way. Then the third thing you'll have to do is take away the part that is not of God and then reprogram ourselves to God's way. Do you believe that's going to have to happen and to have our minds renewed? Now, that's what's going to have to happen to have our minds renewed. It's not that we throw away everything and start all over again. Every time we get a new truth, every time we get a new breakthrough, every time we come into a new move of God, we don't throw away all of it and start all over again. We don't dig up the foundations and lay new foundations. What we do is we retain the righteousness, cast away the unrighteousness, and then receive the wisdom of God, which will renew our minds. Now, I'm going to be ministering this as I go. But just to give you some quick examples, when the Lord made the first covenant with Adam, was all that thrown away when he made a second covenant with Noah? What was kept? The righteousness of it, right? All right. Then he makes a covenant with Moses and the people of Israel. Was the covenant with Adam and the covenant with Noah thrown away so they could get the covenant with Moses? No. They kept the old, didn't they? And kept moving on with the new. I want you to understand that we are continuously moving on to God, with God. Do you consider it strange that we are in the new covenant? And yet this is not the last covenant, because there's an everlasting covenant that will come after this one. God is continuously moving. He's continuously going on. He never wants us to stop. He wants us to continuously go on with Him. And if you're a disciple of Christ, if you're a learner of Him, then what you're going to have in your household, in your house, in your temple, is the new and the old. Now, let me give you some different translations from this verse. The Revised Standard says, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven. Every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven. This takes training. You train yourself in these things. This just doesn't happen. You have to train yourself for the things of the kingdom of heaven. You have to train yourself to understand the things new and the things old. The other translations, the NIV Bible says, every teacher, that's what a scribe means, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven, that's what it says, every teacher, in other words, what we would call it is a preacher or a teacher. If I am a preacher or a teacher of the Word of God, of the law of God, of the Word of God, then what I'm going to have is both the new and the old. Is this in my Bible now? Listen to Doris, please listen to me. This is so important, I feel. This is the new and this is the old. If I am a teacher, if I'm a preacher of the Word of God, am I going to have both of these? Am I going to have both of these in my life? Am I going to have, don't have to answer me. I know I wear you out sometimes with questions because I want you involved with me. And I know that if others hear you involved, then they'll get involved. But don't have to answer me every time, unless I really ask you for one. They don't want you to answer me. But do I need the old and the new in my life? Do I need the old and the new in my family? Do I need the old and the new in my church? Do I need to provide for you both the old and the new? If I'm a true preacher, if I'm a true man of God, if I'm a true person that wants to bring the kingdom of God to an area and to a people, then I will understand both the new and the old. I'll be trained in it. I'll understand it. I'll be taught these things. The Living Bible says, these experts in Jewish law, who are now my disciples, have double treasures. How many knows that the new is a treasure? What you've come into is truly a treasure. The understanding that God's given you and helping you to even receive now, that's a treasure, isn't it? But how many knows that the old is a treasure as well? They're treasures as well. And you don't just keep one treasure. Both, he says, you can have both treasures. You can have both treasures. You can have a treasure from the Old Testament as well as a treasure from the New Testament. And that's what the Living Bible says. Prior to Jesus making this statement in the 52nd verse, he has given seven of his parables. And as I began to meditate about what he was saying here and what I was hearing in my heart, then I went back and I looked back at each one of these seven parables. And the first parable that he tells us about is the seed and the sower. He says the sower goes forth and he sows seed. All right? And some of it falls. You know, all the different kinds of soil. But it comes to the conclusion of that. And he says some will produce 30-fold, some will produce 60-fold, and some of it will produce 100-fold. Now, does he say there, though, because some of it only produces 30-fold, to go back with a bulldozer and dig all that up and throw all that 30-fold soil away? You keep it, and you keep seeding it. There are things in the old and the new that aren't as productive as some other things, and particularly in our individual lives. For example, to me, it's the Word of God. Nothing ministers to me like the Word of God. That's what ministers to my heart. That's what ministers to my life. That's just the way I am. But to some other people, it's the music and the singings of God. Other people like the praise and the worship. But see, what may not be productive in my life, what may not be 100-fold in my life, what may be 30-fold in my life, may be 100-fold in your life. So we don't throw away because I don't like that's not a good way to say it. Because something doesn't minister to me as much as it ministers to you because I'm the preacher, should I throw it away? No. And because something doesn't minister to you quite as much as it ministers to somebody else, then should we throw it away? But you see, that's kind of what we've done, particularly in our charismatic world. What we didn't like, we didn't do. And mostly we got afraid of it because we didn't understand it. If we don't understand it, we're afraid of it. People get afraid of me when they don't understand me. So he says there, he says that's the first thing. You understand the principle that I'm talking about, the seed and the sower. He says you don't go dig up the 30-fold and throw it away just because it's not exactly what you like. Then he talks about the parable of the tares and the wheat. The tares and the wheat. You know the parable and how the good seed is sown and the enemy sneaks in and sows the tares. And I was asking the Lord, I said, Lord, how do you do this? What does this mean? How does this relate to what you're showing me? And I heard this. You see, what we've done in the charismatic move, and it's a move of God. I'm going to show you just a second in one of these parables. But it's what we've done in the charismatic move of God is that we've pulled up the things that we didn't like, no matter if we understood them or not, because we determined that everything was old was bad. We pulled it all up and we threw it out. How many realize that we have really damaged some of the roots, some of the lives of some good seed, of some real wheat. And as I was praying about this morning, I thought about George Hammond's son's name's Houston. And several years ago, Houston was dealt with by the Lord and he came here. And my office was right there then. And he came into the office and he said, "Pastor, tell me something. So why do the churches that you go to today not have kneeling prayer altars? Why have we done away with those?" And I thought that I had given him at the time a really good answer. I said, "Well, what the Bible teaches us now is that we're to take up our cross, which is our altar, and to follow him. And we don't need these kneeling altars in the church today." That was a pretty good answer, wasn't it? Sounds really good. But you know, it damaged his roots. Do you know that he could never get in? Because you see, he needed a kneeling altar. It wasn't ministering to me at that time. It's ministering to me like crazy right now. But at that time, it wasn't ministering to me. But do you see, by us picking these things up and throwing them out, that we damage some roots of some people that need some things like this, that need some symbolic things that they can come to? Don't tear them up. He says, the old and the new. The old and the new. Then the third parable that he talks about is the mustard seed. He says, just because it's little, don't throw it away. Just because it's little, it'd be a little thing to you and a little thing to me. But if we allow that thing to grow and really do what it's supposed to do and what it's really supposed to produce, what will it become? The greatest one of all of them. And people in all over this area can come if you have both the old and the new. Oh, hear me. Hear what I just said. People won't come here because we don't have symbolic things. Other people, you come here because we have the new. That's why you're here. That's why you're here. Every one of you are here because we do the new thing. But do you understand that what we've done is uprooted some things and damaged some roots, and we're seeing it as the little mustard seed? And if we'll plant it and we'll let it do what it's supposed to really do, if we let it grow forth, that it'll be big enough in this area that everybody can come and find roost and nest and safety and security in it. The old and the new. Just because it's little. Just because we don't understand it, don't throw it away. Then he tells us some more parables. One about the leaven. Might not seem like you got enough leaven to leaven the whole lump. But if you'll take all three pieces and put it all together and leaven it all together, it'll all come together. It'll all get leavened. You know, we can find a way. I know that we can, but God is speaking this to us, and we're not, you know, we got to go with the Lord, but we can find a way to combine the new and the old. We can leaven these. Now, and the leaven is in a positive sense here. He says the kingdom of God is like leaven. How many want leaven in what we do here? The kingdom of God leaven. We want it in the new, don't we? Do you want God in what we do here? But don't you want it to also to leaven this one too? See, that's what happened in the church, and I'm going to talk about that in just a second. What's happened in the church is that the leaven, they were doing it without the leaven. And it lost all of its rising ability. And I'll talk about that in just a second. I don't want to get into it just this minute. But he says, leaven the whole lump. All right, then we come to the fifth and the sixth parables, which is talking about the hidden treasure and the costly pearl. He says, now when you find this, you sell everything you got. You get rid of everything you got so that you can get this one. That's what, folks, I believe that the people in this church have done. You have been criticized. I have been criticized. But we found a pearl. We found a treasure. We found something that was worth more than anything else to us. And we threw away, got rid of everything else so that we can get this. Because you see, the places that we were at wouldn't have this and that. If they would have had this and that, you wouldn't have had to come to here. And it's that important, and that's what this church is built upon, and what we have done. We have sold it away, we've given it away, because we wanted what God was saying. We found us a pearl, we found us a treasure, and we got rid of everything, didn't we, Don? We laid it down. We wanted to go on with God. Sold out. And then finally the seventh one that he talks about is the dragnet. The dragnet. Throw a dragnet out and it catches all kinds of fish. Kingdom of God is like a dragnet. And it's not going to catch charismatics in the kingdom of God. How many knows that there's some other kind of folks that really love God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, with all their strength, that may not understand the charismatic hop. It's a dragnet. It catches all of them. You can catch a lot of fish with an old net. You hear me now? Catch a lot of fish with an old net. Catch a lot of fish with an old net. So as I looked at these parables and I saw what the Lord was saying here, it began to really open up to me. And I really believe that's what happens. That's what's going on right now. And I want you to look with me at chapter 13 and verse 10. I found it on what I've said to you thus far. With this opened up to us and seeing what I'm talking about, let's now bring this to this context and see what God is saying in here. Verse 10. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered and said, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted." And I ask God all the time. We were in prayer one day this week, and we began to talk about this. I said, "Lord, why is this?" As I began to read and meditate and pray about it, why, Lord, why do you give to some to understand mysteries beyond what others understand? I've asked that for years. I've preached it here. I've quoted it to you. But I've wanted to know why all the time, and I never have understood until maybe now, maybe today, I'm starting to understand some things. You see, he says here in verse 12, "For or because," this is why, "whoever has, to him shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, shall be taken away from him." What happens? Let me read on. Verse 13, "Therefore I speak to them in parables." That's why I speak to them in parables, and I'm coming back to that. "Because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, 'You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. And you will keep on seeing, but you'll not perceive.'" You're going to keep on doing things, but you won't understand them. You're going to keep on seeing things, but you won't know what you're seeing. You're going to keep on doing things, but you won't understand them. "For the heart of this people has become dull. And with their ears, they scarcely hear. And they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn again, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes because you see, and your ears because you hear." Why, Lord? Why do you open mysteries to some people and will not open mysteries to others? He says it's because when I give them something, they want to stop right there. He says, "If you've got, more will be given to you." Is that what he says? If you've received what I'm giving you, more will be given to you. "He who has, more will be given. But he who has not, even what you've got will be taken away from you." Why God has been so gracious to us and is moving upon our hearts and blessing this church is simply because we take what he gives us and he gives us more. And we take what he gives us and he gives us more. And we take what he gives us and he gives us more. But what's happened in the denominational churches and where most of us have come from and what we dug up and threw away because we didn't understand it and it had become old and just ritual and just wrote what it became to us and we threw it away because of that thing is because they had it. They didn't understand it. It became ritual and wrote to them and God didn't give them anymore. They didn't know what they had. It became just something that you do. Furniture. Clothing. I've had a tough week. I wanted to know. God was dealing with my heart. I knew it was God. And so I began to try to get help. And I'm not putting these ministries down. And I don't want you to even think that's what I'm saying. But I began to go to ministries. And I would say, for example, "Why do you do responsive reading?" And they would hand me a hymnal. So here it is. I would say, "No, I'm not asking what is a responsive reading. I know what a responsive reading is. Why do you do it?" "Well, it's just the way we do it." "Why do you wear a robe?" "Well, it's the way our denomination does things. It's the way we do things." "Why do you have the symbols Well, that's just the way this particular group does. I got quite flustered, but God was showing me something. Because they didn't know what they had, He didn't give them any more. Because they didn't understand it, and they didn't understand the majestic of it, and the majesty of it, and the real reason for it, because they didn't take what God had given them, He wouldn't give them anymore. And now, they don't even have what they've got. They don't know what they've got. They've got furniture, they've got robes, and they've got responsive readings, but they don't have the Spirit. And he says, Paul tells us that's the way it's going to be. He says, you'll have a form of godliness to deny the power thereof. Am I right, folks? And what I want to bring today is the old and the new and leaven it and bring it together. And as I thought about this today, I wept. As I was down here this morning preparing, I just wept because that's what's happened. Had they been able to continuously give us the new, we would have never left. But because they built themselves tabernacles and stopped and didn't even know what they had to start with, we wanted more of God. We found a treasure. We found a pearl of great price. And we laid all this down to acquire that treasure and that pearl. And I believe what God is saying to you and to me right now is it's time to understand the old and the new. It's to be a true preacher, a true learner, a true disciple of the kingdom of heaven. If you're hearing me and you're in agreement with what I'm coming with this far, would you raise your hand and encourage me? Amen. Most of you. I look when I do this now. I want you to know I look, okay? And because I'm really interested. I'm not just doing this to do things. I look to see who is with me and who is not with me. Because I know that if you're hearing me and you're with me, then this is going to flow. And I'm not going to do it, folks. I tried to do this 4 years ago. God began to deal with me about 4 years ago about some of these things. And I felt I got so much resistance, I backed off so fast. I'll back off again. Because if God does not reveal it to you, I'm not going on without you. And if you don't like this, if you don't like what we're doing, if you don't, and when we have these kinds of services like we're going to have tonight, we're going to have a Holy Communion tonight, if you don't like it, then and you don't want to come, don't come. But don't leave. Okay, I don't want you to leave. Say, Pastor doesn't want us to leave. Say that. Don't want you to leave and go nowhere. Okay? I want you to stay. I need you. And I love you. And if you don't agree with me, I understand. I won't get mad at you. Okay? I don't have a good list and a bad list. I won't get upset with you. I want you here. I want you here. But it's so necessary for me to know that the people are here and with me and moving. That's all I'm looking for. Now, I want to just say some things. What I'm seeing here and what I'm trying to bring to you as to how we have our minds renewed, it comes in pretty much the three ways. What we do is we retain what is righteous, we cast away what is unrighteous, and then I acquire new knowledge and understanding, which gives me a renewed mind. Now, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get you to... Now, let me go ahead and tell you what righteous is first. What righteousness is in the Bible is doing it right. In other words, doing it the way God says to do it. If you're not doing it the way God says to do it, then you're not doing it right. Now, we can be doing it right the way we want to do it, or right the way the world wants to do it, but that's not righteous. Righteousness is doing it God's way. Doing it the way God wants us to do it. Now, what we do to have our minds renewed is we, number one, we retain what is righteous in our life. Then number two, we cast away what is unrighteous. And then number three, we receive from God the new, the knowledge which renews our mind, continuously renews our mind. I want you to stand with me. We're going to go through these motions. You're going to do this, you're going to do this, and you're going to do this. We're going to do it three times because I want you to get this. I'm not done yet. We're going to sit back down. But I want you to get this in you because this is just the simple principle that we're projecting today. Here's what we do. Just say it with me. I retain what is righteous. I cast away what is unrighteous. I receive the knowledge of God. And that renews my mind. Two more times. I retain what is righteous. I cast away what is unrighteous. And I receive the knowledge of God. And that renews my mind. One more time. I retain what is righteous. I cast away what is unrighteous. I receive the Word of God or the wisdom of God, and that renews my mind. Amen. Okay. Now that's pretty much the part that I want to bring about that. Look at now, I want you to see how Paul says it, Ephesians chapter 4. And then we'll look at Colossians 3, and then I'll look at one more passage, and we're done. Ephesians 4, to start with. Paul calls it putting off the old man. Ephesians 4, verse 21. If indeed you have heard and have been taught in him. All right, right there is retaining that which is righteous. If indeed you have been taught. Okay. Then you're retaining what is righteous, if indeed you have been taught, not just as truth in Jesus. No, if you've been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus, I'll say it right, that in reference to your former manner of life, you do what? Lay aside the old self. You cast away. You forsake that which is old, your old manner of life, and lay aside the old self. That's the unrighteousness, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust and deceit, and that you be what? Renewed. You receive that which is of God of the Spirit. You receive it into your life. You renew. You receive that, the new self, and put on the new... Where am I at? Verse 23. And that you be renewed... Am I the right verse? Yeah. You be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, what will this do if you retain what is righteous, cast away which is unrighteous, and then receive from the Spirit and the wisdom of God? What will that work into your life? You have a renewed mind. And that's what it does. And it's a continuous walk. It doesn't happen once. It'll happen every day of your life. Every day of your life, you should be retaining righteousness, expelling unrighteousness, and then receiving new wisdom and revelation of God. And every day of your life, your mind will become renewed. And renewed and renewed. You receive, renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, and has been created in righteousness, there's righteousness, and holiness of the truth. It's a very simple thing. Being renewed in our mind is not difficult, it just takes some action on all parts. Because we've got to find out what really is righteousness, what really is right with God. Now one more, Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised up with Christ, how many of you have been raised up with Christ, right? You're saved and you know you are. You hate sin and you're raised up with Christ. If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And then he says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are of earth. Set your mind, retain the things of God. Set your mind on the things of God. Retain that which is good, that which is righteous. And then, I'm not going to read this whole passage. I could, because it all is referring to what we're talking about. Verse 8. But now also put them all aside, cast away, these things that are unrighteous. And he lists those things. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, all these things. You cast the unrighteous things away. That's verse 8. And then in verse 10... And have put on a new self who is being, what? Renewed. This is how you renew your mind. Renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew and circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, Christ, all in all. Now, well, just pointing this out. Now, we don't mind other colored skins coming in here. We're used to that. But when we begin to really grasp the old and the new, when we can bring these two together, there will be no distinction between any culture. Do you see that there? There's not barbarians, there's not Jews, there's not whites or blacks. We'll just be the body of Christ because our minds will be renewed. And one of the biggest things in our minds is prejudices. And it may not be racial prejudice, but it's some kind of prejudice. And prejudice is just something that you don't agree with. You don't like as much as you like what you like. You're prejudiced against something. And when we get our minds renewed, what happens to us is we get the mind of Christ. We've set our mind on the things above, Not on the things of the earth. See, how many knows that prejudice is a thing of the earth? When you get to heaven, you're not going to worry if they're white or black or yellow or green or gold. We're going to be all in one and one in all. And we're going to go before Him and fall down and cast our crowns and say, "Hallowed is Thy name, O God." And that's what happens when our minds start getting renewed. See, our churches, the church today does not have its mind renewed. Or it wouldn't have black churches and white churches and this church and that church. We'd all be one. So that's what we're talking about here. We go to the old and the new. You got to have the old and the new. You won't get your mind renewed without the old and the new. All right. Example. Now, most of us have come from denominational churches with varied liturgical orders. Let me first of all define liturgy. Every church has a liturgy. Now, liturgy is not a bad word. It's more than four letters, and it's not a bad word. Liturgy simply is the order of worship. We have liturgy at this church. We've done this for several weeks. We just changed our liturgy. We come in, the first thing we do is the Lord's table. We partake of the Lord's table. The next thing we do is the offering. The next thing we do is the praise and the worship. The next thing we do is the preaching and the ministering of the Word of God. Somewhere in there we're going to minister to people. But that's our liturgy. Am I right? That's what we do here. That's pretty much the flow of our liturgy. Now, some of you have come from more ordered liturgy than here. I know that Randy comes from a Lutheran liturgy. Very strict and stern. I mean, it's right down the line. And you don't utter. You better not even say amen. Okay? And you've been in churches like that. Well, you better not say amen. All right? But, at the same time, and still speaking of Randy, he was just sharing with me this week, that he's been in churches where they had more liberty than here. So, we all come from varied liturgy churches, because this church is only 4 years old or so in what we're moving in right now. Now, the church at LaFay has been like 12 years, I think, in its totality, hasn't it, Pastor Tebow? Something like that. But in what we're in right now, it's like this particular phase and move that the Lord is trying to do with us right now has been like 4 years. So I know that you've come from somewhere. And basically you've come from liturgical churches where you walked in, they gave you a bulletin and said, "This is what we're going to do." Now there's no room for the Spirit in that. We understand that. And we found the pearl of great price, like I've already said, and we pulled up our altars and we threw them away. And we cast away our God because we didn't want anybody to feel like they were superior to us or whatever reason that we was. But how many knows that the God that wears this is no more or no less godly than the God that wears this? It's not the clothes. It's what's in the man. And all these things do are symbolics and symbols that bring us into our awe and a reverence of God. And we're going to be talking about that. And that's going to be basically what we're talking about tonight. But all of us come from liturgical or of some sort backgrounds. We found the pearl of great price. But is there something to vestments? Now, I don't want answers. I want you to answer maybe in yourself. But is there something to vestments? This is vestment. Vestment means your clothing, your garb. Is there something to a liturgical vestment? So I began, as I went to these guys, I said, "Why do you do it?" And they said, "Well, it's just the way we do it." And I went to bookstores. And I would say, "I want something on vestments. I want something on responsive reading. I want something on altar. I want something on..." And they didn't have anything. And so the Lord just really made me know if I wanted to find out, that I had to find out myself. I had to get into the Word and find out. He was not going to have a man cross my path and tell me. He wasn't going to have a book drop out of heaven and tell me. What he was going to have me to do was get into the Word myself and find out about these questions that I had. And I got it written in my car right now. I'm a little notepad. Why? Why? Not what they are. I know what they are. I want to know why. So I began to search the Scriptures. And Roger, I've taught the Tabernacle of Moses I don't know how many times and for how long. As long as I can remember being saved, I've taught the Tabernacle of Moses. And I've always taught six themes or six principles. And you know them about as well as I do. There's the altar. the brazen altar where the sacrifices were made. There was a laver bowl. There was the candlesticks. There was the shewbread table. There was the altar of incense. And there was the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of the whole earth. Six pieces of furniture. I never liked saying there was six pieces of furniture, Don. Six is not God's number. Six is man's number. I left out something. I left out a theme. I left out something that was of most importance. And there was more time spent, more scripture spent on this one that I had left out than there was on the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of the whole earth. You know what it was? Aaron's garments. The priestly garments. And what they were supposed to bring. And the reverence and the awe that they were supposed to bring as they began to minister to God's people. They're not for you. I'll show you tonight. They're not for you. They're for God. He didn't dress them up for the people. You know what He dressed them up for? That'd be glory and honor unto me. Oh! Okay, I see that one, Lord. What about now? What about, is there something, let's say, responsive readings? Responsive readings. Is there something to responsive readings? Well, if you'll understand this principle, and I'm going to rehearse some of this tonight. If you'll understand this principle about the responsive readings, that the Word of God that you have in your lap or in the chair beside you, the Word of God that you have, that the Scriptures that you should be orchestrating your life by, is of two contexts. One, it is God speaking to man, but what else is it? Man speaking back to God. And both are Scripture. What we do is respond to God. He speaks, we respond. We'll respond positively and we'll respond negatively, and both are in that Bible. One will show you what will happen to you if you do, and one will show you what will happen to you if you don't. But there is responsive reading. And both are Scripture. God spoke to Abraham. What did Abraham do? A responsive reading. Responded back to God. What responsive readings is just the proper response back to God. The proper response back to God. And we make it as a people. We make it as a group. How many believe that we need it as a group to sometimes just respond to God as a group? Properly. You need to respond in your life properly so the blessings will be on you. We respond properly as a group, the blessings will be on this church. So is there something to responsive readings? Yeah. Start seeing this. Altar. Is there something to an altar? Now this isn't the altar that they brought lambs on. It was not even close. This isn't that altar. But neither is this the cross that they brought Christ on. Now, I can't get into all this. But how many, does this mean something to you? Does that mean something to you then? There's the symbolisms in the Scriptures are enormous. The whole book of Revelation is built on symbolisms. If you don't understand biblical symbolisms, you'll never understand that book. You'll still be waiting for 7 years of bad times or something. But that's not what the book is talking about. The book is talking about the symbolic meanings of the Word of God and how it's going to minister into your life. These things are meaning something. That's what these are. These are symbolisms. Symbolisms in the church that come to minister to us. And what's happened in the denominational churches is that we've left what they really mean and they just became furniture. And that's exactly what happened in the tabernacle of Moses. We are the kind of folks that move into the tabernacle of David. We want the praise and the worship of the dance and glory to God. It's wonderful, isn't it? But at the same time, the tabernacle of Moses existed on Zion. The tabernacle of David existed on Zion. The tabernacle of Moses was existing and functioning on Mount Moriah or Ephraim. One of the two, I'm not sure. But it was functioning. And there was a blending of the old and the new. Okay? And that's what God is saying today, folks. The wise teacher, the wise church, the wise people, the wise disciple, they're going to have an understanding of the old and an understanding of the new. So is there something then to the symbolisms that come in? And I believe that it's like anything else. How many of you sometimes take our praise and worship for granted? You know, well, it's going to be this way next week. I'll get into it next week. Is that right? See, whatever that we do consistently, we begin to take for granted. If we have these in here every week, we'll take them for granted. You walk in here every day, there's a cross hanging there. First time you may say, well, that's nice. It really represents the crucifixion of Christ. You see it up there several times, you start taking it for granted. See, what happened is they begin to take these things for granted, and God didn't keep adding to them. People like you and I come along. We wanted more of God. We wanted God in our lives. We wanted Him with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength. We began to move on with God. And He began to show us some more things. Is there something to the old? Yeah. There's something there. And I believe what the Lord is wanting us to do is find it. I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 7. I so appreciate this church. I was sharing with Lance this week as I was praying and studying and preparing. I've prepared differently from this sermon probably than any sermon that I've ever preached. We made these this week. Karen, Steve's wife, made me a beautiful white robe that I'll wear tonight. She made it this week. Because I so much wanted to project to you what I'm hearing. I was sharing with Lance, and I said, Lance, I am so blessed. Because what I'll be sharing Sunday morning, most charismatic type, kingdom of God type preachers could not share in their churches. It would not be received. They would be crucified. And you see, I want to make it so abundantly clear, folks, I'm not going back only to the old. I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to learn of it. I'm going to know it, but I'm going on with God in the new. I know that. And that's what I want you to hear me say. I don't want to frighten you. I don't want to scare you. I'm not trying to put you back into anything that you've come out of. I'm trying to explain it to you, what it meant, or what it should have meant at that time, and what it will mean now if you'll allow it to. Revelation chapter 7. I'm a blessed man. I'm a blessed pastor. I really am. We find two themes here about the church. We're going to start reading Revelation chapter 7. Let's start reading with verse 3 just to save a little time, saying, do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the bondservants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the son of the sons of Israel, from the tribe of Judah. And he goes on, Reuben and Gad. All right, then go with me to verse 9. And these things, and after that, I looked. It's like John saw it. He looked away. He looked back. After these things I saw, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes. And palm branches were in their hands. And they cry out with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Now notice that they cried out together. Do you see? There was this togetherness of what they're crying out. And they cried out with a loud voice, salvation to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four elder creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. They were saying all together, amen. Blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Now what I want to show you here is the first thing that we see in the first verses is that John's telling us here that there is first of all the theme of everybody being numbered. There's a theme here of 144,000. There's 12,000 from each tribe. Everybody's numbered. Not a one is missing. Everybody's there. Not a one's missing. It's very ordered. Then there's perfect symmetric and wholeness involved here. It's a number times itself, which is a symbol of perfection and wholeness. The bride shall be what? Perfect. Without spot, without wrinkle. She's going to be perfect. She's none of one of us. How many of you think God's going to forget you? And when if he comes, he's going to forget getting you. He's not, is he? You're numbered. You're sealed. I want you to hear what I'm saying. He's not going to forget you. He knows you. All right? He knows your name. He knows where you live at. All right? All right? It's perfectly symmetrical. What I want you to see here is it speaks of the old, of kind of the sons of Israel. It speaks of the Old Testament. It speaks of the old things of God. And then finally, I want you to see the order that's here. 12,000, 12,000, 12,000, 12,000, 12,000. Just God's order. But at the same time, as though John looked and looked away and looked back, then there's another theme that's given to him there. Now, all of a sudden, this group of people that were definitely numbered and that none were missing, all of a sudden, they're innumerable. Now, do you really believe that God can only count to 144,000? What I want you to see is God's just not going to count the Jews and not have us count Him. What I want you to see is there's two themes in God. There is the old. There is the old, where God has everything in order and it's done the way that it's got to be done. But there is the new, the innumerable. If you can understand what I'm trying to say to you, God didn't count one and not count the other. That's not what John's saying here. What John's saying is that Jesus came, God so loved the world that He sent His only Son to do what? Save the world, not just the Jews. The Jews have never been just God's plan. God's got a whole plan, and He's got us all numbered, but at the same time, we're innumerable. Are you with me now? All right, then you go on and He says it's perfect and it's symmetrical. And then on the other hand, no one can count it. You can't comprehend it. There's one side, there's the old that we can look at and it's perfect and it's symmetrical and it's in order and it's a holy assembly and it's that way. But at the same time, there's another group of folks that you can't number. It's you can't conceive all that God has. God says, "I has not seen and ear has not heard what I've got for you." You go on, and you got the old, the sons of Israel. And then over here on the new, you got every nation, the whole world. One, you got God's order, done a certain way. But at the same time, you have total liberty. Total liberty. And I really believe that's what the Lord is speaking to us today. Two dimensions, two themes. And I believe that the wise church, that the wise people, the true disciples of God are going to have both. I believe that the churches that are going to continue on with God are going to embrace the old and embrace the new. They're going to throw out a dragnet. They're not just going to be able to get the ones that want to hop and jump. They're going to get the ones that want to sit and be quiet. It's the whole net. It's the whole net. What's the Lord speaking to us today? I got three things. Number one, the wise scribe, the preacher, the church, the wise church has knowledge and understanding of the old and the new. Have I projected this to you today? Do you believe that this is the Word of God? That the wise church, that if we're going to be a discipled church, a church that's going to go on with God and get all that He wants us to get, we're going to have the old and the new. Secondly, if we reject the new, He will take away the old. If we don't go on with God, He's going to take away what we've already gotten. Young people, listen to me, Lance, Monty, Steve, men like me, Pastor Tebow and Don and Dr. Cash and Roger Graham and Willis, and I'm going to stop right there because I'm going to leave somebody out. If I don't, then all of you, I'm looking at you, and I love you all, and you're going to know what I'm saying here in just a second. If I go on with the Lord before He comes, if I go on with Him, I'm going to be looking at you guys. I'm going to be watching you. And if you ever stop moving in God, I'm going to tell God to send an angel on you with a sword and beat your heads in. We have laid our lives down. We have paid the price that it took, the criticism that it's took. We've done what was necessary to get this thing established and rolling and going. And you guys better not blow it. See, there was people that blew it. There was people that blew it in the past. I'm telling you, don't blow it. This is the most glorious thing. When you begin to comprehend all that God's doing, you better not blow it. We've laid our lives down. We've paid the price. We've done what was necessary. You better go on with God. And you better not leave the old. You better not forget what I've taught you. But you better not stop there. Because if you don't go on with God, He'll take away what I've taught you. It'll just become rituals and rote. And you'll come in here and you'll have furniture. You won't have a house of God. The third thing I believe that He's saying to us today is if we throw away the old, we'll be void of a total revelation of God's church. 2 Timothy 3:7 says, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Charismatics defined, always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of His truth. Folks, I can say it because I've been there. Because I didn't like what this guy preached, I'd go over here. Didn't like what this guy preached, I'd go over here. Let me tell you something. I'll bless you if I stop preaching truth. If I stop going on with God and new things, I'll bless you if you want to leave this place. I'll bless you. I'll say, God, you know, I just don't see that. I can't go on with that. I'll bless you, and you go on. But I don't believe you better leave here as long as I'm going on with God, as long as I'm encompassing the old and the new. I believe that's the Lord. I believe it. I believe the Lord's tired of us growing numerically by changing our membership. He wants us to evangelize the city. There's enough people out there that doesn't go to church anywhere without having to proselyte from these other places. And that's what God wants. Number one, I really believe that. I believe that He's telling us that we need both the old and the new. I believe number two, that He'll take away the new. He won't give us any more new if we stop growing in Him. And number three, I believe that if we don't encompass both, that He's saying to us, you're always learning, but you'll never come to the full revelation of what I want to give you. Special service tonight. Have a holy communion. As far as I know now, I'm going to talk with my elders, talk with Pastor Tebow, see if this is what God wants us to do. After I've taught this and shared this today, we'll get together and we'll see if God wants to come tonight. If we do what I want to do tonight, we'll come into a holy time, a holy communion. We'll come in here, we'll have reverence. It'll be different. We'll sing a couple of hymns, a couple of courses. But our time is going to be in communion with the Lord. You'll come down, you'll be served the bread and the wine. You'll stay as long as you want. You'll wait on the Lord. He'll speak to you individually. He'll minister to you. You can confess whatever you want to confess to Him. You can say whatever you want to say to Him. You can stay as long as you want. There'll be no schedule. You'll come in. You'll be ministered to. You can stay. Kneel as long as you want. And then you can go back to your seat and others will come. That's what I want to do tonight. If we're in agreement here. If you're not in agreement with me, don't leave me. Okay? Don't leave me. Stay with me. Now, would you say, do you agree with what I've said today? And if you're in agreement with me, I want you to stand to your feet and we're going to make some declarations. Now please don't.